Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Well, get ready. Hold up your Bibles. Y'all ready? Let's do it. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Tonight, I'm going to learn from the ever-living, incorruptible seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same again. Amen. All right, well, you may be seated. Y'all ready for Keeping the Flame Alive, part three. Now, how many of y'all were here for part one and part two of, all right, sounds good. Those of you that are here, welcome, Christians. All right. Y'all ready for the teaching of the word? Let's do it. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 11, it says this: never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. If this is your first time on a Wednesday night of this, Keeping the Flame Alive Bible School, we're just talking about keeping the fire burning on the inside of you. See so many people excited for God at one particular moment. Sometimes it takes minutes. Sometimes it takes moments. Sometimes it just takes one act to get the flame out in your life. Can I tell you, the enemy's going to do everything he can to blow in your direction, to blow out the candle. You know, I was thinking about it today. I was headed over. I did some horses in one spot and had to drive over to another place. But the place where back in April they had a fire across there, it was amazing how green it is. Y'all know what I'm talking about when you're like driving down I-40 or back. I remember when we went to the Johnson Ranch, gosh, 10, 12 years ago when that big fire that came through there. What year was that? Huh? Yeah, okay, in 06, that's the one I'm talking about. And then there was one later on, but the one I'm talking about at the Johnson Ranch. And I remember driving in there to do some horses and how beautiful it was when the rain came. But you know what brought out the green? You know what brought out the life? I'm going somewhere here. The fire. The fire. I'm telling you, when the fire of God is burning bright in you, people see it on you. People see it in you. People will desire that. I don't know about you. I don't like yellow grass in my yard. I like the green stuff. I like the green stuff. And you know, I'm attracted to the green stuff. If I go and look, if you're trying to buy a house and you pull up to the house and it's not a green yard, my dad always said this. He said, son, you want your house to look like a man of God lives there. Have some green grass, young man. So I have green grass at my house. All right? No, I ain't throwing shade if you don't, but you better start serving the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And that's hard to do in West Texas. But hey, let's keep the flame alive. Last week we talked about keeping the flame alive is number one thing you have to have in your life is the Word of God. Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And my desire for you as a pastor, but also as a believer and as a friend, would always be fall in love with the Word of God. I had lunch with Lucas on Tuesday, and I told him, I said, young man, fall in love with the Word of God. Fall in love. You know, when I was young and in ministry, I would read the Word to get messages because I didn't have any to steal from anybody. So when I was a brand new youth pastor, I would read the Word just to get a message, and that is not a good idea. Now, it's the overflow. I love the Word so much. The Lord set me free about 6 years into ministry. Now, as I just read the Word of God, I just fall in love with it in the depths of it and contemplate it. I never complete it. You'll never complete it here on this earth. But you just contemplate it in your spirit, and you get excited about it. And I'm telling you, if you're going to keep the fire burning, you've got to have a love for the Word of God. It says in Jeremiah 23, verse 29, it says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Let's go over just a quick recap here of last week. When God's word blazes in the human heart, it drives out darkness. How many of y'all believe it drives out darkness? I'm telling you, right now, there's a lot of darkness trying to come in. And listen, the darkness has already been here. And if you didn't get enough of it the year before, it's back. And I'm here to tell you, you know what's gonna build your faith? The Word of God. CDC will not. All right? I sent a text to somebody this week that's absolutely terrified of it. And that's what I told them. I said, my job as a pastor is to tell you this. I will never live my life based on the world, always on the Word. And His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And His Word tells me that the blood of Jesus covers me from the top of my head to the soles to the tips of my toes, that I don't have to live in fear, but I can live in faith. Amen? It provides light. It brings warmth and fervor. How many times in your life has one scripture provided light in a particular thing you needed wisdom in? Amen. It brings warmth and fervor into places that has grown cold. There may be times in your life where you feel isolated and defeated. But thank God for chapters like Hebrews chapter 11, where faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, where we see about Abel, where we see about Enoch, where we see about Abraham, we see about Sarah. And they begin to list all the heroes of faith. And when we see God did it for them, it reminds us that God can still do it for us today. It brings warmth. It'll bring fervor into places that have grown cold and spreads into flames, its flames in the lives of those who are touched by its power. There is nothing to compare to the effects of God's words as it reaches out to grip your spirit, man, with its convicting power and then to ignite you spiritually from the inside out. There'll be times where I've been reading in my daily reading in the morning and one scripture be like, thank God when the Word convicts you. Because we don't receive it when man gives it, right? But the Word can convict you. Just like the feeling you have when you sit next to a fireplace, the Word of God will warm your heart when you just sit with it and allow it to get in your heart. When the Bible is ingested into your soul, its divine fire identifies, ignites, and consumes trash that needs to be expunged from a person's life. Amen? Gets rid of the garbage. We all need that. When God's Word is received as the all-authoritative Word of our divine King, it imparts power beyond imagination and transforms weaklings to do feats beyond our natural capacity. When Christians could be spiritual giants, they are often weaklings because they have ignored the source of fuel that could empower them to be mighty. How you treat the Bible is a reflection of your level of intimacy with Him. What did Jesus say? If you love me, you will love my commandments. And if you love this, you will love him. Amen? It doesn't matter how much of the Bible you already know. It holds depths of revelation truth that you have never experienced, and its voice is beckoning you to come deeper into its waters. The pattern in the book of Acts shows us that God's miraculous power is unleashed when His Word is declared by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The times and cultures may fluctuate and change, but the voice of Scripture never does. A.W. Tozer, I had to say this one more time. The Bible is not only a book which was once spoken, but a book which is now speaking. Nothing less than the whole Bible can make a whole Christian. Isn't that good? All right. Well, tonight we're going to go to our number two fuel here, and this is prayer. Oh, man. Y'all ready? This is going to be good. If you're going to live a life on fire, you're going to have to be devoted to prayer. If you're going to sustain the fire, especially in the last days, come on, somebody, the day we are, you will have to be consistent in prayer. Nothing can replace prayer. I love this quote by Leonard Ravenhill. I had to put this in here. No man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, few prayers. Many singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Do I even need to go on? Many interferences, few intercessors. many riders, but few fighters. Failing here in prayer, we fail everywhere. Isn't that good? Our God hears and answers. Jeremiah 33:3. Get this in your heart. Come on. Write this on your mirror. This is something that I go to all the time from the prophet Jeremiah, where it says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which you do not know. You know, why do we pray? Because we're always in a pickle and a jam of something that we don't have the answer to, right? We need wisdom. And God gives us a command right here in Scripture. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I don't know about you, but I want to know something. I want to know great and mighty things. The world does a great enough job to tell me the little and, you know, terrible things. But thank God for the Word of God. And through prayer, we can know the great and mighty things. If we do our part in prayer, God will show us great and mighty things that are out astounding, beyond what the natural mind can comprehend. The task of calling unto God is a glorious assignment He has given every individual believer and to the church as a whole. Like our study last week, the book of Acts shows the early believers passionately prayed and God responded positively with mighty demonstrations of His power. A.C. Dixon said this, this is good, when we depend upon organizations, we get what organizations can do. When we depend upon education, we get what education can do. When we depend upon man, we get what man can do. But when we depend on prayer, we get what God can do. The early church depended upon the power of God. And they regularly and consistently, how y'all know how important it is to be consistent, called on Him to move among them. They consistently experienced the power of God on a miraculous level as the power of darkness was driven back. Samuel Chadwick said this, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. I got a lot of quotes in here because I found some good ones. Max Lucado said this, when we work, but when we pray, God works. Aren't you thankful you came tonight already? Not by what I've said, but what these other guys said. We have got to learn to lean upon God in prayer. Don't lean on your own effort. Press into God's presence in prayer and call out to Him and activate His promise to answer us with powers that are beyond our natural ability to comprehend. E.M. Bounds, he said this, what the church needs today is not machinery, or better, not new organizations or more involved methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men of prayer. Again, the book of Acts is a pattern book to show us how God worked throughout the centuries and still works in the church today. In the book of Acts, we see a pattern of powerful prayer, that God established among early believers right from the start. As you will see, early Christians' lives were literally on fire with prayer. They prayed all the time, all the times of day and night, and in a variety of locations among everything that concerned them. Isn't it sad when, what's the ones that they stop at like noon and go? Brandy said they pray to the south because that's where the devil is. But they pray somewhere. Is it the Muslims? I'm telling you, they pray all day long. Christians. Huh? It ain't doing them no good. But hey, they're making us look bad. We need to be believers who pray all the time. Amen? If they can pray to a dead God, how much more effective it would be if you prayed to an alive God all the time? That was my own quote, by the way. Go ahead and write that down. We'll italicize it later, okay? Acts 1:14 says, let's go through the book of Acts here. These all continued with one accord, they're not talking about the Honda, in prayer and supplication. Sorry, corny preacher jokes. Although Sunday, that was a good one, I got to admit. It's a holy ministry. Anyways, if you weren't here, you missed God. All right. Prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. This was a group, if you study this out in the book of Acts, this was a group comprised of 120 followers of Jesus that were gathered in an upper room. For 10 consecutive and consecrated days, followers of Jesus earnestly prayed as they waited for the promise of the Father to be poured out upon them. Then when the day of Pentecost finally came, God moved in response to their prayers and sent the promised baptism in the Holy Spirit. So going back to Jeremiah 33:3, when Jesus' followers called unto God, he positively responded by showing them great and mighty things. Now we see in Acts 3:1, now Peter and John went up together in the temple of the hour to pray, being the ninth hour. Y'all know the story here, the cripple, the gate called Beautiful. Peter and John were on their way to the temple for their regularly scheduled hour of prayer. We have regularly scheduled lunch that I don't miss. We have regularly scheduled breakfast, do we not? We have regularly scheduled things. We have regularly scheduled shows that we do not miss. Who am I talking to? But do we have regularly scheduled times of prayer? Except for 6:30, Tuesday through Friday. All right, moving on. When they encountered, that's the word there, encountered, an opportunity for God to manifest his healing power through them, a cripple was miraculously raised up who had been lame for 40 years. Prayer. This is great and mighty things. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. In this text, Peter and John are returning to a gathering of believers in a private home after being interrogated by Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. When they had prayed, the place was shaken, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word with boldness. I mean, y'all know this is great and mighty things. When the room shakes when you pray, that's great and mighty things. Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, and that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Again, Peter and John were praying, but this time they were in Samaria, laying hands on new Christians and praying for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, God heard and answered the apostles' prayers as God moved mightily upon the Samaritans, and they were gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all know this is great and mighty things? It gets better. Y'all want more? Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Y'all know the story. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Ananias prayed. In fact, in different translations, it talks about him praying. But the Lord spoke to him in a vision and instructed him to go pray for Saul. In this vision, Ananias understood that when he laid hands on Saul, Saul would receive his sight and would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Ananias obeyed what he heard in prayer, and it came to pass. Saul's eyes were open, and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And look at the world changer that Saul became because of Ananias praying, because of him stepping out, because of him being obedient to what he heard in prayer. Look at the, I mean, we're still affected today by the ministry of Paul. Are we not? This is great and mighty things. That's what happens when you pray. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 2, it says, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. The Bible tells us, this is the story of Cornelius here. He was praying, and an angel of God appeared to him. The angel directed Cornelius to send for the apostle Peter, who would bring him and his family the message of the gospel. The centurion obeyed, and he and his family received salvation and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is great and mighty things. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. This is where Rhoda was at the door. She went to the door and she saw him. He came back and said, Peter's at the door. Well, let him in. Right? In this text, believers had gathered to pray for Peter because he had been thrown into prison by King Herod. This verse says prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. That's exactly what they did. They called to God. He responded to their prayers by sending an angel to Peter's prison cell, who miraculously unlocked Peter's chains and opened the prison door to set him free. This is great and mighty things. How many of y'all have loved ones that are locked up right now? Not only physically, but you know what I'm talking. They're bound by a chain of some sort. Hey, pray. This is great and mighty things. Are you guys getting it yet? Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Elders in the church at Antioch began to pray, the leaders of the church, and seek God's will and direction. As they prayed, the Holy Spirit, speaking through the gift of prophecy, directed those elders to separate Paul and Barnabas from the rest of the group to begin taking the gospel to people in distant lands. Because the elders had yielded to the Holy Spirit's leading in a season of intense prayer, they understood that it was time for Paul and Barnabas to be launched into their apostolic ministries. This is great and mighty things. Make prayer a priority. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We saw this last week. Steadfastly, we're going to go over that again. Someone who preserves consistently, intensely, focusing and working hard at something. It pictures effort that never gives up. Remember, it's almost like somebody who is addicted to something. The early church believers were intensely focused on and completely committed to prayer. Prayer was not something they tried to fit into their schedules. It was priority. They fully understood that if they would call out to God, He would hear them and show them answers beyond their natural understanding. They put great importance on their responsibility to prayer. D.L. Moody said this, We are not told that Jesus ever taught His disciples how to preach, but He taught them how to pray. Amen? I didn't say that, but it was good. Prayer was the centerpiece of Jesus' ministry. I'm telling you, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Scripture tells us that He often withdrew from the company of other people to spend time with the Father in prayer. This is the Son of God at any time of day or night. And just as the disciples did with so many aspects of Jesus' ministry, they replicated what Jesus did by making prayer a daily discipline in their life. Then they passed this prayerful emphasis on to the church in the book of Acts. Now let's talk about prayer. What is it? What is prayer? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, it says this. This is Paul text here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The word that is used here, it's found in the New Testament 127 times, and it comes from the Greek word prosuki. First part of that is pros, up front, close, or face to face. Those of you that were here for spiritual warfare, we talked about this. Then the next one is uki, a wish, desire, prayer, or vow. This word was originally used to depict a person who made some kind of vow to God because of a need or desire in his or her life. A great example of this can be found in the story of Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Hannah deeply desired a child but was not able to become pregnant. Out of a great depression, she prayed and made a solemn vow to the Lord. Let's look at it. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now we go to verse 19. And they rose up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore, it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel. This is another one. This is a great and mighty thing. Look at the impact Samuel made on the nation of Israel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. In exchange for receiving the precious gift of this son, Hannah vowed that her young boy would be devoted to the work of the ministry. Hannah gave her most valued and prized possession to God in response to his answering her prayers. Quite frequently in the Old Testament times, people seeking an answer to prayer would offer God a gift of thanksgiving in advance. This was their way of releasing their faith in the goodness of God and thanking him for his favorable response to their prayer request. Before a person verbalized his prayer, he would set up a commemorative altar and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving on that altar. Such offerings of praise and thanksgiving were called votive offerings. This votive offering was similar to a pledge, for it was the person's promise that once his prayer was answered, he would return to the altar to give an additional offering of thanksgiving to God. So this sets the stage for the Greek word prosuki, which was used more than any other word for the prayer for prayer in the New Testament. It's the act of always coming back, right? What a picture this paints of prayer. It tells us several important things about the subject. Number one is this. It tells us that prayer should bring us face to face and eyeball to eyeball with God in intimate fellowship. Amen? Prayer is more than a mechanical act or formula to follow. It's a vehicle that leads. It's a vehicle that leads us to a place in the Spirit where we can enjoy close, intimate fellowship with God. Prayer is a place of surrender. I can't do it, but I believe with man things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. Second, it gives us the idea of sacrifice as well, as we see in this text. This word portrayed an individual who so desperately desired to see his request answered that he was willing to surrender everything he owned in exchange for the answer to his prayer. Prayer describes an altar of sacrifice and consecration built in the place of prayer upon which a person entirely yields his life to the Lord. Here's the third thing we see about prayer, and in that text, thanksgiving becomes an aspect of prayer. When we offer a genuine prayer in faith, we should never stop short and fail to thank God in advance for hearing and answering our prayers. It is the act of surrender, consecration, and thanksgiving. Charles Swindoll, he is the leader of Focus on the Family. He says this, prayer is an investment. The time you dedicate to prayer isn't lost. It will return dividends for greater than what a few moments spent on a task ever could. Isn't that good? D.L. Moody said this, my friends, if we're going to do a great work for God, we must spend time in prayer. We have got to be closeted with God. Isn't that good? Get in the closet. Get in that prayer room. Six forms of prayer. We're going to go through these real quick. I probably could have done prayer like three sessions, Pastor Robert, but I'm going to get it all in here. The prayer of surrender and consecration. The prayer of surrender and consecration. This is the Greek word we have been studying, which is the one we just examined, prosuki. As mentioned earlier, this is the most common word for prayer in the New Testament. We kind of already went over that. The next one is the prayer of petition. The Greek word deesis is the second most used word for prayer in the New Testament. This word essentially describes a person's cry for help. It is a humble recognition of our insufficiency and continual need for God. The word supplication in Ephesians 6:18 that we read is the word desis. This word in its various forms are translated as prayer and petition more than 40 times. How many of y'all have ever had to cry out for help before? Oh, Lord. Amen. The next one is the prayer of authority. This one's good. In this case, the word prayer is taken from the Greek word adio, or atio, I don't know, which means I ask or I demand. Describes someone who knows what he or she needs and authoritatively asks God for it. How many of y'all know it's God's will for you to be healed? Amen? Sometimes we got to get in that authority. God, your word says, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Number four, the prayer of thanksgiving. The word prayer is also sometimes translated from the Greek word eucharistia, which is a combination of the words ou and charis. It basically describes wonderful feelings and good sentiment that freely flow up out of the heart in response to something or someone. God, you're so good. Thank you that your mercies are new every single morning. God, I thank you that you never leave me and you never forsake me. You're always there. You're the God of more than enough. Come on, how many of y'all know you need to just pray in thanksgiving at times? God, I thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Even when you're going through the bad times, we always got something to be thankful for. Amen? This verse tells us it is God's will that we use the prayer of thanksgiving in every aspect of our life. The next one is the prayer of supplication. This form of prayer is derived from the Greek word entuxis, I think. This word and its various forms are used only five times in the New Testament. It often is translated as the word intercession. It does not necessarily refer to intercession as most people understand it, like we would understand intercession. The word carries the idea of falling into the presence of the Lord or freely enjoying fellowship in the presence of the Lord. It signifies a wonderful, intimate form of prayer that includes access to freely petition for grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne room of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Can I give you an idea of when you pray, stop and listen. Amen? That's spending time with the Lord. Number six is this, the prayer of intercession. This is the Greek word. Man, these just get harder. I actually had my Siri tell them to me, but she has an English accent. It didn't sound right, so you read it there. It is the rarest of all the words used and only appears once in the entire New Testament. Romans 8:26 says this, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The phrase maketh intercession, this is great, is translated to the Greek from this Greek word, that Hooper word. It means to fall in on behalf of someone else and come into their rescue. Isn't that good? When you don't know what to pray, come on, he knows. Exclusively describes prayer done by the Holy Spirit himself on our behalf. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. 15 things we're commanded to pray about. What are we supposed to pray about when we pray? If you begin to develop a prayer life, it won't be long until you'll be led supernaturally in your praying. I'm going to say that again. If you begin to develop a prayer life, it won't be long until you'll be led supernaturally in your praying. But to begin with, there are 15 specific things the Bible commands us as believers to pray about. Y'all ready? Number one, God's will to be done on earth. I pray that all the time. Why do I pray it? Because Jesus was a model prayer for us, was it not? In Matthew 6, 9, and 10, it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, O Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I want to encourage you with this. In prayer, always call out to the name of the Lord. This is a model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, he's not asking who he is. He's talking about where he is, who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Those of you that have been in the ministry of this church, you know that prayer starts off with Jesus. Can I get your attention, Lord? Amen? I want to encourage you to call on the name of the Lord. He who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come on. In prayer, we need saved, do we not? So let's call upon the name of the Lord. And he's got more than one name. Come on, he ain't even from the ghetto. Let's go. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In those situations, if it goes this way, it's okay. If it goes that way, it's okay. If it goes this way, it'd be bad. If it goes that way, it'd be bad. But you know what you pray? You say, God, I pray your kingdom come and your will be done. I don't want the will of the doctor. I don't want the will of man. I want your kingdom come and your will to be done in this situation. You know what I'm praying for America? That his kingdom come and his will be done. You ought to pray over kids that his kingdom come and his will be done in their life. On earth as it is in heaven. Number two is this, physical provision. In Matthew 6:11 goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Psalms 111 verse 5 says, he hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. I believe that we can pray that he supply all of our needs. God, give me today my daily bread. Amen. Number three is this, deliver us from evil. Number three is this, deliver us from evil. Is this live? He will you can pray and he'll deliver you from evil. Wow, there you go, Captain Insano. Matthew 6:13 says this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Psalm 91. Pastor Robert, come up here and quote it to us. But I wrote it down here. You know what you ought to do? And I do this over my family all the time. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord that he is Travis, Brandy, Addison, Anson, Ketch, and Noel's refuge. And Travis, Brandy, or you can say the Bennett's. And the Bennett's fortress. Come on, put your name in there. Speak it over your life. My God, in him will the Bennett's trust. Surely he shall deliver the Bennett's from the snare of the fowler. Are you guys getting the attention this? Come on, especially where we are right now. We're going to speak faith and not fear. Well, let's just do this. He shall cover AOL with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be AOL's shield and buckler. AOL shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor for destruction that wasteth at noonday. I should have really thought this over in the King James. 1,000 shall fall at AOL's side, and 10,000 at AOL's right hand, but it shall not come near AOL's thee dwelling place. Come on. Amen. I'm getting confused my own right now. Only with thine eyes shall thou read it for yourselves, all right? Speak it over AOL. Speak it over your family. Ah, Lord. Untie my bow tie. Who stole my Honda? All right. Should have bought a Hyundai. Number four is this. Forgive those who have wronged you. How many of y'all know you need to pray for you? Yes, it's hard. But prayer helps it. It helps it, right? When you're talking to God. You can actually talk to God about other people. Other people, it's gossip, but to the Lord, come on, it's forgiveness. God, I pray for them. I pray for them. And you know, you have certain things you might want to pray for them, but come on, keep it under the blood. Lord, we forgive them. The Bible says this in Matthew 6, 12, 14, and 15. And for this, remember, this is the model prayer. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I'm telling you. Pray. That's what we need to pray for. Forgive those that have wronged us. Number five is this. You need to pray for spiritual leaders. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us. He says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Number 6, 7, and 8. Government leaders, all in authority, and that we live or lead a peaceable life. We see this in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, even the ones we don't like. Amen? For kings, for presidents, for politicians and senators and government officials, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So let's pray for our government leaders. Let's pray for all those that are in authority. And let's pray that we live a peaceable life. Number nine is this. Preachers of the gospel. We're to pray for them. Even the ones you don't like. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it with you. Same scripture there. Number 10, pray for open doors for the gospel. I mean, y'all believe souls need to be saved. Pray for open doors. Colossians 4, 3, it says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Number 11, people that have been saved. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Number 12 is this, pray for the sick. We also know this from Mark 16. It says, believers will lay hands on the sick and that they shall recover. You can pray for them. But James 5:14 says, is any sick among you? This is scripture. I didn't make this up. All right? We're living in a time of day where it says, no, 6 feet, quarantine, be scared to death. Pastor Robert, you scared? He's not scared. Bring him to us. We'll pray for him, won't we? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall forgive him. Shall be forgiven him. Verse 13. Number 13, people living in sin. We need to pray for them, y'all. John 5:16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on... Oh, that's 1 John. Sorry. We can go back to that. I wrote the wrong scripture there. Number 14, sorry. Erase the tape. Y'all forgive me. 14 is this. Israel to be saved. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I'm telling you, you should have it in you to pray for Israel. There was a time where I was doing really good in the mornings praying for Israel. And the Lord, as I was going over this, I thought, man, how important is it that we as believers pray for Israel? Amen? Another one is this, the peace of Jerusalem. It says in Psalm 122 and verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem that shall prosper that love thee. So you guys see these? So when you think you've ran out of things to pray for, which I'm sure you won't, but these are things that God has called us to pray for. Amen? So we need to be better stewards of that. When do you pray? Ephesians 6:18 says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always is taken from the Greek word, in pante kato. In means at, pante means each and every, kato, times or seasons. So when you put it all together, everything, including the smallest and most intricate details. Instead of getting frustrated, why don't you pray? Right? Let's pray. When all three of these words are combined, it is translated at each and every occasion, every time you get an opportunity, or at each and every possible moment. In other words, what Paul was trying to communicate is this. Every time you get the opportunity, no matter where you are or what you are doing, seize the opportunity to pray. D.L. Moody said this, we are to see the face of God every morning before we see the face of man. Oh, isn't that good? It's kind of convicting, isn't it? We put it on the news that we don't even like to watch before we pray. Do your best to stay in the state of prayer. Pray as you walk through the house. Pray as you drive your car. Pray as you get up, get a cup of coffee. Pray on your way to the living room where you sit in your chair and read your Bible. Before you open it, pray and ask God to speak to you. Pray always. You can ask my kids. I am always praying in the Holy Ghost. You can ask the staff. I'm walking down the halls of this place. I'm praying. Come on, we need to have it in our spirits to pray. Pray before bed. Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Pray that the Lord will minister to you in your dreams, that you'll have sweet sleep. Thoughts of good, not of evil. Dreams of good, not of evil. By maintaining an attitude of prayer, it will keep you in a constant state of peace. How many of y'all believe that? In a constant state of peace. And you can maintain this prayerful attitude every hour, every day. It may take time for you to cultivate this habit, but it is not difficult to do. And it is worth the effort because it brings the presence and power of God into your day. David Martin Jones said this, man is at his greatest and highest when upon his knees he comes face to face with God. Leonard Ravenhill, and he had, there's so many good comments on prayer that he has, but he says, I grant you that, talking about the modern church today, I grant you that to our modern Christianity, prayer, praying is foreign. Isn't that sad? And I believe it. Let's take this to heart and make sure that you and I are not numbered among the prayerless people who are abundant in today's church. Billy Graham said this, heaven is full of answers to prayer for which no one ever bothered to ask. Man, what a nugget right there. Maintain a prayerful attitude on a continual basis, and in exchange, get ready for His presence and power in your life. When you commit yourself to such a holy pursuit, you'll find that your decision is one that radically transformed your life because you've opened the way for God to be involved in everything you do. Amen? That scripture, people living in sin, that's in 1 John 5:16 here. I looked it up in my Bible. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin that does not lead to death, he will pray and ask, and God will forgive him to give him life. We need to pray for them. Amen? We need to pray for some folks. But here's the bottom line is this. Let's be prayers and not players. I'm going to say that again. Let's be prayers and not players. It's Jensen Franklin that says, rather than worry about everything, let's pray about everything. Isn't it so important that we do that? Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand to our feet tonight. Did you get something out of the Word tonight? Did you get something? How many of y'all know that prayer is a fuel, that it will keep you filled? I'm telling you, it's spending time with the Lord is what it is. It's spending time with the Lord. God, I just thank you right now in Jesus' name, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your presence that is in this house. I pray, God, for flames that are burning brightly in here. I pray, God, this week, Lord, put something in them. Lord, I pray for opportunities to pray with our children. I pray for opportunities to pray with grandchildren. I pray for opportunities to pray with coworkers. I pray for opportunities to, Lord, may we be led by our spirit to that guy that's at the, as he's fueling up, that we can just see it all over him, that he's had a Monday. Lord, I just pray that you would give us boldness, as we saw in the book of Acts, as they prayed, there was boldness that came upon them. And so, Lord, I just pray for opportunities this week, God, as we pray and as we seek your face and as we draw close to you. Lord, I thank you that you will draw close to us. I pray, God, you said, pray and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And so, Lord, you said, call unto me and I will answer you. So, Lord, I pray, God, may their fire be in marriages, that as couples get together that would call upon you. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for it. We give you glory for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.